Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And it is fantastic to be here with you this morning. I cannot say thank you enough for all that this church, this body, your leadership team, everyone has been such a blessing. Pastor Joel, for so many years. As he mentioned, we were on staff here as youth pastors for several years, and then the Lord called us to be missionary slash evangelists throughout the state of Michigan, and they have graciously let us office here, have a team office here, being a part of this body. Your missions team and missions program is by far exceeds far and beyond for so many missionaries around the world. Their care of us as missionaries was amazing, and it's just a thrill to be here today. I just want to say thank you, and I want to allow Toni Lee. She'd like to say a few words of thanks, I think, as well this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see your faces. And I just want to declare right now, this is not a goodbye service. Correction. Because I can't say goodbye. Last fall, when we were voted in on Sunday night, September 21st, Monday morning at 8 a.m., September 22nd, Kurt was in the office. And his feet hit the ground, and he hasn't stopped since. He literally does not answer my calls. I've thought about lighting our house on fire and sending smoke signals, but we need to sell it, so that wouldn't go over very well. But I just want to say hello. And last fall when we hit the ground running, it broke my heart that I wouldn't be able to come back and see some of your faces and say goodbye. But, you know, God is so great. He brought us by clear direction in August of 1997 when this ringmaster brought us here. And from the moment we stepped into this building, this was home. And so many of you have become family to us. And I never thought that we would be able to duplicate that. It is an extreme privilege in ministry to be able to raise your family in a community for 17 years. At graduation, the principal said, once a chemic, always a chemic, and everyone's like cheering, and I was bawling, because I know that that's really a privilege. And when I walk into the grocery store or the post office, I see so many of you, and you say, how are things going in Saginaw? And I'm able to share with you, and you say, well, we've been praying for you, and we believe in you, and that means so much to us. It is priceless, and we know that that has come from Joel and Donna's leadership, and that they have blessed us, and that just means the world to us. And you mean the world to us, and we love you dearly, and just hi, and we love you, and thank you.
Now, you have to understand, when we got to the church, as Pastor mentioned, it is a revitalization. There's a lot of revitalizing going on. And one of the things we had to revitalize, which took us a few months, was we didn't have working phones. So if there was kind of a reason why I didn't return or answer phone calls from time to time. I didn't have a phone that even worked in my office, and we had to put in a phone system. It had become antiquated, unworking, different things like that. So I don't just neglect phone calls, you know. From time to time, I have learned to put it down or it will control my life. And so many times during the day, I just have to put it all down. Otherwise, everything else will take over. And so it's been an incredible journey. It's been an incredible ride. God, we just feel like the Lord has prepared us, and we're just in a season exactly where he's called us to be. And we're thrilled to be a part of what God's doing in Saginaw. It was about a year ago, as was mentioned, that we just really felt a stirring in our hearts that God was doing something. We didn't quite know what. We didn't know what it was. And we just began to seek the Lord. I remember telling Tony, I just just really feel like we need to get our house in order. We need to get everything together. I just kind of feel like, you know, we're wrapping up these days. God has something in store for us. I just don't know what. Going into the summer camp season, mentioning, I think this is our last summer of camps. And it was the end of July-ish, we received the phone call from the board there, and they asked us to consider. And that's a long story of how that just came about, and the Lord's leading and guiding in that. It's just been incredible. And a lot has taken place now over the last 5 months. When we got there, there were many challenges, you know, many hurdles, many things that we had to just believe God and pray and ask God to do a miracle. And church, I'm here to tell you that God has done some incredible miracles. He has already done some incredible things, even in the short time of 5 months. We got in there and it did from beginning, from the outside of the building to the inside of the building. It just needed a revitalization. We are still missionaries with the Assemblies of God through the end of this year. In church planting and developing, we are called to revitalize the church in Saginaw. And so the Lord has opened up that opportunity and that window for us to be a part of that. When we got there, there were many things that needed to be taken care of. The first thing we thought that we needed to address was the nursery. And we got to the church and we came to find out that over the last 2.5, almost 3 years, that they did not have a single baby in the nursery. The nursery was literally unused. I walked into the nursery and I immediately saw the problem. It was the nursery. No, I'm just kidding. It needed some serious help, and so we had to redesign and make a whole new structural change in there, cut out some openings, and we had to remove walls and just create a space that actually worked for children. And so we began to take bids and get bids from different businesses and groups. The very last bid that came in was from a large construction company there in Saginaw. And everyone else's bid came in and had a lot of lines and a lot of numbers. This man's bid had two sentences on a piece of paper. It said, "If you buy the supplies, we'll supply the labor, and we'll do it for free, labor-wise." Isn't that incredible? Gets even better. About a month and a half ago, the project got done. The man in our church overseeing, I said, "Hey, we kind of need to know what we're expecting and anticipating, so we kind of know what we're in for and what we've got to do," because they've been getting all the materials and doing all, or they've been buying the materials. We hadn't. They did the whole job. And so I asked him, "Find out what we owe. Please get us a ballpark so we can kind of prepare." He called him on the phone and asked him, "Hey, could you put the list of materials together so we know what we need to do?" And he answered our gentleman who was leading that renovation, and he said, "Don't worry about it. It is completely covered." Isn't that incredible? We just have a brand new now facility there on that. Oh, I wish we had a brand new facility. That was a slip of the tongue there. We have a brand new nursery structure that's warm, inviting. We now have, on average, 15 babies in the nursery on a Sunday morning. Isn't that great? And it's just exciting. There's an energy and an excitement. We have a roof that leaks, and that roof has some leaky areas really all the way around and through, and we just didn't even know what to do. We contacted some men that we know. There's a gentleman down in Brighton who goes to an Assembly of God church. We invited him to drive up and assess our situation. We heard that he really was good, and he's worked with a lot of churches throughout Michigan, and he's there. So we invited him to come up. He looked at the roof. He walked through the whole building, and he looked at me, and he said, "Pastor, we got a problem." He said, this is big. And I said, what are we talking? He said, "There's not one area of this roof that we can salvage. It needs to be completely redone." He said, "Here's what I want to offer to you. I want to offer to be your consultant. I want to come up and I'll manage this project. I come into this area quite a bit. I want to manage this project completely. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to have to worry about it." I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." He said, "I just want to make this happen for you. Let me call some people I know. Let me get some bids in. We get some stuff." So we started that process. He saw one of our areas, or two of them actually, were very in bad shape. We have on the front of the building, on the Mackinac side, is the sanctuary. And off to the side, each side of the sanctuary, are two additional rooms. Those rooms, literally, when the rains, it's like a wall of water coming down. It was like streams of living water flowing into the church. And they would constantly have to vacuum the power vacuum up the water and all that. And he said, we want to come and we want to help you. We want to take care of these and get these done for you. I said, awesome. You just tell me how much it is. He said, no. We just want to come and take care of them for you. This last fall, 13 men of his crew came, spent an entire day, ripped off both of them completely, put on a brand new roof. We've had rain, we've had snow melt. We've not had a single drop of water in either one of those two rooms. Isn't that awesome? That's so great. God is just beginning to do so many things. He's bringing things that we just didn't even see or anticipate what God was doing and how he wanted to provide to create some incredible things that take place. Our services have become alive and rejuvenated to, our church. When we went, it started with about 80 people. We had started about 80 this summer, and currently we have about 180 that are worshiping on Sunday. In fact, they're in church, they're in service right now, and they're worshiping there, and we're just so excited of what God's doing. Since October, over the last 5 months, we have witnessed 43 people who said, we want to ask Jesus Christ into our heart, and they've received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Isn't that awesome? And as you can imagine, that's created quite a stir, and people are very excited about that. And one of the sad things that took place over the course of time was, as a church, the church body there had to literally stop completely their missions program, funding missionaries. Over the last year, they were not able to support any missionaries. And so we knew, God's heart is to reach this world. God's heart is for missions. God's heart is that people would come to know him. And so we just began to pray and ask God what to do. We started just talking to people. We talk about it on Sundays. We started talking about it a little heavier in December. And we let everyone know, starting in January, we formed a missions council. We have an actual missions council that's formed. We have a great group of people who are excited about that. We began talking about missions. We took a look at our January offerings that came in, and they had been consistent for a couple of months, and we added in February, we started supporting 25 missionaries on a monthly basis. Is that not awesome? That they would just feel the heart of that? And next month in April, we are going to have the first missions convention that they have had, as far as we can tell or understand, that they have had for the last 15 years. We are going to have two Sundays. We're going to take faith promises, and we're believing God to really stir the hearts of missions there. We believe that God wants to restore. He wants to renew. He wants to revitalize. All of those incredible words. How many of you know when he does it in our hearts and our lives, he wants to do it in his church and his people, and he wants to revitalize the city of Saginaw. I believe that with all of my heart. A few years ago, they were the number one most dangerous city to live in. Last year, they were third. Saginaw, this year, dropped to number four, and we're believing God to take them right on out of the top 10. Amen? Let's just keep it moving the right way. You didn't know you lived near something so dangerous, did you? Yeah. God's doing a great work. And we're excited to be a part of it. We don't even know some days which way to go or what to do. I literally, in those moments, I just know that God has given us a heart for that city, and it burns inside of us. We just want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we want to say thank you so much for being a part of that. Thank you so much for having a heart to reach a neighboring city and to help reach a neighboring city that's 30 minutes away, and it's got a lot of things that are happening there. It's a great city. It's got some deep-seated things that have taken place that we've come to find out, but we know a God who's bigger than anything that has taken place. place or anything that has. We serve a God who wants to see lives changed forever. And we're just excited to be a part of that. We literally believe that God wants to do something there. He wants to hit, and it's the title of my message, he wants to hit a reset button. God's reset button. For us, it's the city of Saginaw. We believe that he wants to reset everything in motion to win and reach that city for Jesus Christ. Believe that he has set in motion some things and events that we can't even explain. A businessman who comes in and gives us a bid for half of it, and then at the end he says, I just want to take care of all of it. A roofer to come up, and he wouldn't let us pay for a thing. They ripped it off, and they had a dumpster, and they bought all the materials, and they put it on. We didn't ask for that. It just happened. I believe that God is ordering our steps, and he's doing things that are above and beyond our imagination, but we've learned some things over the last few months. We've learned as a people, we want to see God do a reset in every area of that church. He's resetting our youth ministry. When we got there, they had every Wednesday about 8 to 10 students. Last Wednesday, they had 27 students in youth group. Isn't that awesome? And in a children's ministry, in every area, we want to see God reset, revitalize. This is a church that's had an incredible history. If you're familiar with the church at all, maybe you're not. It just had a great, rich heritage. And all of those things that had once been great, we believe that God wants to hit the reset button and rejuvenate, revitalize, and God to see something great take place in that city. And sometimes I'll say sometimes, all the time, I know this is a lesson that I've learned. When I've been overwhelmed, when I've been stressed, when I've seemed like the task was way more magnanimous than I could ever even attempt to tackle, that even in my own life, God wants to hit the reset button. He doesn't want me to look at the circumstances. He doesn't want me to look at the problems. He doesn't want me to look at the hurdles that have to be taken to be leapt over, jumped over. God wants me to keep my eyes fixed on him, that he has everything in his hand. He has control. It's his church, right? It's his church. It's his work. It's his hands that are doing it. It's not us. It's nothing that we have to offer that can make that, but it's by his hands that he does incredible things. And I came to learn this, not just in the church, but for me personally, that when I looked at myself and all the things that I am and all the things that I am not, I know that in many ways I could literally, just like that, I could tell you about 20 things that we have need of, great need of right now. And I could focus on those things. I could get down about those things. I could get dismayed about those things. But there's something that the Lord has really stirred in us, and that's to keep our eyes focused on him. And this verse that I want to share with you this morning is an incredible verse that has really impacted me personally. And you know what? It's really impacting our church there in Saginaw. God is creating a people of praise. He is creating a people who want to praise him again. There is a new shout and a rejoicing that is taking place in our body and in our congregation. And many times, you know, in life, we go through life and we want to get the most out of it. We want to get the most out of life. We're kind of taught that today as we go through life. Get the most you can. Be all you can be. All of those good and wonderful things. And so there's this instilled in us that we want to be blessed or have blessing and to do all of those things. And when we take a look at this, I want to start. Even before we talk about and get into the actual reset button that God gives us, I want you to understand this. To get the most out of life, we really have to make the most of our walk with God. If you want the most out of this life, I encourage you to go deeper, go further, go higher than you've ever been on the mountain of God, to climb into his presence, go deep with him, that literally if you want the most out of life, it's inevitable that when we dig into him and we climb the mountain of God and we go after him, that literally he draws us into his presence. And when he draws us into his presence, all of those things, all of the issues of life, all the storms, all the hardships, all the difficulties, all the things we don't understand or know, all of a sudden they grow strangely dim in the light of his incredible mercy and grace. And when we fix our eyes on him, in this verse we see Philippians 4:4 is our passage of scripture today. You can turn there or you can see it on the screen. This verse is an amazing verse. He says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." There's an exclamation point at the end of that. There's an exclamation there, I believe, for a reason. I love the punctuation here. He says, rejoice. Or does he say, rejoice? He literally shouts, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. No matter what you're going through. We have to understand, Paul was going through some serious things. When he wrote this, he was in prison. He was in prison under the watchful eye of the Roman guards, bound in chains. He wrote some of the most uplifting spiritual words ever penned here while he was in chains. In this letter, in four short chapters, he literally 16 times either says to have joy or to rejoice. He says this, I will rejoice in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he says, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Again in chapter 2, he says, I urge you, rejoice in the same way. In chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord always. Chapter 4, again I say, rejoice. Paul always looked for the positive. He was in chains. He was in prison. And somehow, deep inside of him, there was something that literally spurred in him the desire to rejoice even in his persecution. Like a broken record, Paul seems to hammer over and over again this theme, to rejoice in the Lord always. The word rejoice actually means to rejoice. So he's telling us to have joy and rejoice over and over again, to rejoice in the Lord always. It's like hitting a reset button. How many of you have ever had to reset, restart, reboot your computer? You know what I'm talking about. And whether that computer is going malfunctioning, something slow, you're getting the spinning wheel, or it's just not moving, the hourglass that just won't fix, and what's the first thing we do? Reboot. Tony Lee calls me with a problem. I can't get the computer. Did you restart it? Oh. I guess I should. And you reboot that computer, and it brings everything back online. Something in the programming got whacked off, something got broken, something got miscommunicated, it got set out of order, and so all of a sudden that computer isn't working, some electronic device. One of the first things you do when a computer issue is just reboot it, let everything restart, and all of a sudden when you do that, it's hitting a reset button. Everything comes back online. That is exactly what happens when we rejoice. The joy that we've lost is restored. Our feeble faith rises again. God's reset button is amazing. And his reset button starts in our hearts when we rejoice. The word rejoice also means to praise. The act of rejoicing is to give praise. Praise shatters those circumstances. Praise lifts our head off of our situation and our troubles, and it puts our focus on the one whom literally holds our lives in his hand. Praise has the power to shatter many things in our lives. I cannot tell you how excited our body is to praise with you this next Sunday night. We cannot wait to share a night of worship together with you. This is a people of praise. You know how to worship the Lord. You're excited. Tony Lee and I were honored and we're thrilled to be here again on a Sunday morning just to worship the Lord in his presence. Isn't it good? To be able to praise him and to honor him. And we cannot wait for our bodies to be able to worship together. It's going to be an incredible night. We have a lot of things that we need, as I mentioned, rejuvenated in our church. But one thing we have learned and one thing that we have begun is we will be a people of praise. That we will be a church that praises him. Even when the roof is leaking, we're going to give him praise. Even when we see that all of the need and all of the things, we're going to look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. No matter what is leaking in your roof, no matter what is taking place in your life, Maybe there are things that nobody sees, and there are issues, and there are pains, and there are hurts. I want you to know that these words will literally transform your situation. When you rejoice, again I say rejoice, it takes our eyes off of our problem, puts them on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter what you're going through, I say to you today, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise Him. We've learned to praise Him through all of these different things. This life lesson has literally spoken to my heart and my life immensely. What does praise shatter? Praise shatters many things. Praise shatters circumstances, lifts our eyes off of our situation. Praise is an incredibly powerful gift for the believer. And now I'm not talking about corporate praise when we come together and we praise Him. I'm talking about personal heart of praise. It's an attitude, it's a spirit, it's a heart that no matter what comes my way, no matter what happens, I will praise the Lord. And in a moment on a Monday afternoon when we get bad news, I'm going to turn my heart in praise to Him. When something happens that we didn't see, when a tragedy comes our way, we didn't see it coming, things could be going super today, but tomorrow something happens, I want to encourage you to lift your eyes to Him and praise Him. There are some things that praise shatter in our lives. What does praise shatter? Number one, praise shatters despair. You think your situation may be hopeless. Listen, Paul was under arrest. He literally couldn't leave his cell to preach the gospel, yet he wrote this. In Philippians 1, 18 and 19, yes, I will rejoice, for I know that my imprisonment will turn out for my deliverance through the prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Church, I want you to know, always know, that God is working behind the scenes. Even when we can't see Him, begin to praise Him for that. The clouds over your head may be dark, but praise will lift you above them so that you can see the sun again. Listen to this unknown Confederate soldier's cry, and it was a poem written by a Confederate soldier. He said this, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, but I was given hardship that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men, but I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life, but I was given life that I may enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. For almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. What an incredible, different view of hardship, of struggle, that literally when we praise the Lord, He shatters the despair in our lives, that immediately that cloud is broken and we begin to experience His grace, His strength, His mercy. The second thing that praise shatters negativity. Have you ever been complaining about a situation? Have you ever complained to someone about life's troubles or something happened and we find ourselves being critical, maybe even to a point? I just want to challenge you. Stop being negative. Turn your eyes to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice no matter what comes your way, no matter what is happening. Remember, Paul was in his chains when he wrote, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Grumbling short circuits faith, but joy revives it. Literally, grumbling short circuits our faith. That's saying that we are grumbling about a situation because we don't believe that God has our best interest, that God has control, that He is. Instead, I believe we should take the words of Paul and rejoice in that situation, that God is about to show Himself strong. And that's what we're doing. We're believing and we're praising because we believe that God wants to show Himself strong. Margaret Sangster Margaret Sangster is a daughter of an English minister who came upon some very, very difficult times. He got sick, lost the use of his voice, lost the use of his legs. Listen to what she wrote. When he went to the doctor, he found that he had an incurable disease that caused progressive muscular atrophy. His muscles began to waste away. His voice began to fail. His throat would soon close up and he would be unable to swallow. This man, Sangster, wrote this. He said, "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a regiment to lead." He wrote articles and books, and he helped literally in this state and in this condition. He literally helped organize prayer cells all throughout England. Gradually, he lost his voice and he couldn't speak. 2 weeks before he passed away, he wrote his daughter one last time. In it, he said this, "It is going to be terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be more terrible still to have a voice and not want to shout." Church, we have a lot to shout about. We have a lot to praise about. We know that in this moment that when we praise him, it shatters negativity. It shatters those. It's like a reset button in our hearts and our lives. God's reset button. When we praise him, the dark clouds, though they may be there, he causes us to rise above them so that we know that he has us right where he wants us. Right where he wants us to hit the reset button. Number three, the third thing we know that praise shatters. Praise shatters doubt. When we stop praising, we get stuck in the muck and the mire of our own problems. All we can see is the here and now. But something supernatural happens when we rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:13, "You are lifted out of the prison of impossibility and translated into a realm where you can do," and that's where it says, Philippians 4:13, "all things through Christ who strengthens me." The prison of impossibility goes away when we turn our eyes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Literally, when you praise, you go into a phone booth looking like Clark Kent, but you come out looking like Superman. Just don't wear your underwear on the outside, please. There's something that transforms inside of us when we turn our hearts towards him. I could look all day long at the trouble. I could look all day long at the hardship. But if I choose to do that, I will be defeated. I choose to lift my eyes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we don't look at the trouble. We don't look at the situation. Our God wants us to rise above it. Amen? In church, in our hearts and in our lives, he wants us to rise above any circumstance or situation that you have. He wants to literally shatter doubt. He wants to shatter negativity. He wants to do those things. Listen to this incredible story. Mr. Jones called his pastor from the hospital one day and frantically said, "Oh, pastor, come quickly. My son John was just bitten by a rattlesnake and at the point of death." Of course, the pastor hurried to the side of this worried father. He said, "Pastor, pray for my son. I have promised the Lord that if my son recovers, I will come back to church and bring my family and we will start living for the Lord again." Well, of course, the pastor prayed. He said this, "Dear Lord, we have come to you now on behalf of Mr. Jones' son. We pray that he might recover from this snake bite, but we want to praise your name for sending this rattlesnake to bite John. This one rattlesnake has done what I nor the church has been able to do for 5 years. During all this time, he has not been interested in his own spiritual well-being nor the spiritual well-being of his family. And this one rattlesnake has turned his mind back to you. Thank you, Lord, for sending rattlesnakes." That's a little different perspective, right? Thank you, Lord, for every now and then comes a storm. Every now and then comes something, sometimes to bring our hearts closer to him. Sometimes to bring us a little further in our faith, in our journey.
But something happens when we get caught in negativity, doubt, despair, woe is me. That's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to live prosperous, healthy, whole lives. Does that mean everything's going to go perfectly? Absolutely not. But when it doesn't, we do what Paul said. We rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. I will rejoice because you created me. I will rejoice because you have this circumstance in your hand. I will rejoice in this circumstance, situation, trial, whatever it might be that is going on in your life, whatever that storm may be or may not be. That may come a day when a storm hits that's bigger than we are. I say, remember the words of Paul, I will rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise also shatters anxiety. Paul said that when we hit the rejoice button and replace worry with joy-filled prayer, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart. Listen to this. I believe this. Joy will calm your anxious heart and allow you to receive the promises of God. It literally can change your perspective. It literally can flip our attitudes, flip them upside down. I believe this. Attitude is like a flat tire. You aren't going anywhere until you change it. The March 1988 Rotarian tells a story about an organization that offered a $5,000 bounty for every wolf, for wolves that were captured alive. It turned Sam and Jed into fortune hunters. Day and night, they scoured the mountains and the forest looking for this valuable prey. Exhausted one night, they fell asleep, dreaming of the potential fortune that was in those hills. Suddenly, Sam awoke to see that they were surrounded by about 50 wolves with flaming eyes and baring their teeth, gnarling at them. He reached over slowly, almost petrified. He reached over and he shook his friend, Jed. And Jed woke up and he whispered, "We're gonna die. We're dead." Sam wakes up and he starts to wipe his eyes a little bit, not kind of groggy, doesn't quite see what's going on. He opens his eyes and he grabs his friend. He says, "We're rich." Total different perspective. One looks at it and we're gonna die. The other says, "We're rich." I don't know how. I think he's gonna die, but I don't know. At least he had a good opportunity that literally when we begin to praise, our perspective changes. Our attitude about a situation gets flipped upside down. I want you to understand that God's reset button is amazing. And when you start it, it puts into motion things that we cannot even comprehend. Miracles take place. Things happen. All we have to do is keep our eyes fixed on Him, church. All we have to do in our own personal walk with Him is to keep our eyes on the One, Jesus Christ, for an incredible, incredible journey as we offer and we understand that He has a plan for you and I. I don't know what you're going through. I don't understand all the things and all the miracles that take place when we praise Him. It's just amazing what happens. Literally, it does. It creates a superhuman spirit inside of us to know that it's not me, but it is Christ who lives in me that is going to overcome in this circumstance, in this situation. Praise does so many things. It changes our perspective. It brings hope into impossible circumstances. It shatters despair, negativity, doubt, and anxiety. And my heart and my prayer for you is that it will be just that in your life. Every single day, choose to rejoice. Choose. When we rejoice, it's like hitting God's reset button. It recharges us. It re-energizes us. Let me close with this saying. This is a quote that was written 40 years ago, written by Merlin Carruthers, who wrote Prison to Praise. This book literally has sold 17 million copies. It's now in 53 different languages. And what was written 40 years ago, I believe, still rings true today. And my prayer is that it rings true in your heart, in your life, your situation, your home, your family. It says this: the very act of praise releases the power of God to set of God into a set of circumstances and enables God to change them. Miracles, power, and victory will all be a part of what God does in our lives when we learn to rejoice in all things. The very act of praise releases the power of God. The very act of praise releases into motion a set of circumstances that are beyond us. We are choosing to praise Him. We want to thank you so much for your support of us in this incredible work, in an incredible journey that's bigger than we could have ever imagined, but we serve a God who's bigger than any set of circumstances. And we want to thank you for your prayers. We want to thank you for your hearts for us. I can't even say thank you enough. Words aren't even, they fall short. So many people have said they're praying for us. We need it, we covet it, and we thank you. And the same God and that same reset button that's kind of taken place in our hearts and in our lives, we're praying that God will do the same for you. So very quickly, I would like to ask you to do something with me. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? I don't know what burdens you might be carrying. I don't know what situations of life you may have. I don't know what has been taking place. I don't know if you've been shrouded in despair. Maybe some anxiety has overcome you. Maybe you've been caught in negativity. I want you to know that today you can choose to rejoice. You can choose to praise Him and allow God to literally set in motion this very last quote, that the power of God will be instilled into your situation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If that's you, you say, today, I'm going to choose to rejoice over a circumstance, a situation that I need God. I am no longer going to look down. I'm no longer going to be in despair. I'm no longer going to doubt my God by speaking negatively. But today, I am seeking Him, and I'm going to turn my eyes towards Him in my situation. If that's you all around this room, I'd like to pray real quick. And if you say, hey, Pastor Kurt, would you pray with me this morning? I've got a situation and I am going to declare to rejoice over. If that's you, just slip your hand up right where you're at today. Yeah, 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 yeah. Lift your hands right now and just keep them up as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your reset button. I pray that as this button is even pushed this morning in these hearts and in these lives, that you would do a miracle, that you would do miracle upon miracle, blessing upon blessing. I pray that you will instill power in their hearts and in their lives, that literally you will reset their heart, reset their attitude, reset their desires towards you. Lord, we will not be caught in negativity. We will not be caught in despair or anxiety any longer. And I pray right now for each hand that is raised in that situation, whatever it represents, we know that you are God. You are amazing. And you are about to reset our course in history. In Jesus' awesome name, amen.
Amen. You know, as Pastor Kurt was giving us his report about what's happened in the last 5 months, there were two thoughts that came to my mind that I want to share with you. The first one is simply this. Let us all understand that the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, is going to always exist, and God's always going to work through the church. But I want to say this about a local body of believers in a local church, and I want you to hear me very clearly. I've come to understand the church is very fragile. We brag about how strong the church is, but I'll tell you something else. The church is very fragile. And if it's not taken care of right, and a lot of things go into that, a church can fall apart overnight. And I want all of us who worship at CCC, who understand that we're part of a strong body of believers, always recognize how important it is that we carefully, carefully, carefully take our position in the church and move the church forward. The second thing that came to my mind was very practical, extremely practical, but sometimes people look at a church's budget and say, I don't know why it is what it is. And let me explain something about our budget here. We have just about 50,000 square feet in our facility. And in order to keep it looking the way it is and functioning the way it functions, we budget $2,500 a Sunday, $10,000 a month, $120,000 a year for doing nothing more than keeping things up. That's one of the reasons you walk in and, hey, this looks nice. You don't see cracked windows. You don't see doors that don't work. You don't see leaks in the roofs and everything else. There are parts of our building that are over 40 years old, and it looks as if it were maybe built yesterday. And I want to say a special thank you to Tim Mason and the crew that works with him, all in the portfolio of Pastor Leon. I just thank you so much because you folks have taken such good care of our building, and it's not in disrepair. It looks good and it functions good, but I want you to all understand, on any given Sunday, $2,500 goes out of the offering just to make that happen. We couldn't begin to do what we're going to do in the chapel in another couple of months unless we set aside some for that. So, I think this congregation owes all of our custodians, our maintenance people in the portfolio, Pastor Leon, a big round of applause for how they take care of our building. That's a very practical thing, I understand. Doesn't sound like it's highly spiritual until everything's broken and everything looks old and ugly. Then all of a sudden it really impacts you in a powerful, powerful way. Now, I just rejoice in those miracles that's happening for you. And they have another roof issue. And I want to talk to you about it. We're going to take up an offering and I'll just do what the Lord tells you to do. Their auditorium roof and over the lobby, it's one of these roofs that goes up into the heavens. I think if you could get up to the top of it, you would have passed the pearly gates, okay? And you'd already be in heaven. And it's leaking. It's a mess. And it's not an easy fix. Well, let me tell you what it is. It's a $180,000 fix. Yeah, I'd say wow too. And I'd say ouch if it comes out of my pocketbook. That's not a fun place to put $180,000, you know? Now, I do not want to portray that Saginaw First Assembly does not have any finances, because they do. And they have worked hard at saving and pulling together, and they've got, towards this project, $140,000. Okay? But it's got to be done this spring and this summer. And so, we're going to take up a love offering at the close of this service today for this need. And as Pastor Pat and I were sitting about 5 months ago talking about this, and I want to give credit where credit is due. This idea came from Pastor Pat. Pastor Pat said, you know, I think that we could free up to $10,000 from home missions money to go for this need. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to take up an offering. And for every dollar that you give, we're going to match it with a dollar. If you give 100, it's a $200 offering. If you give 200, it's 400. If someone feels prompted to give 1,000, it's 2,000. Up to $10,000, which means if we would have a $5,000 offering, it'll be 10,000. If we were to have a $10,000 offering, it'll be a $20,000 blessing to Saginaw First Assembly. I believe that's what the Lord has laid on our heart. I've shared that with you, and I'm going to ask you to be very, 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 very generous. Lord, I've tried my best to portray the need, and I just thank you that this congregation has been blessed abundantly, and we're going to be able to bless towards meeting this very important roof need that needs to get fixed this summer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would everyone take an offering envelope from in front of you? Fill it out where it says especially for. Just put Saginaw Assembly will work. Saginaw Assembly would work just fine. I believe there's a lot of people that say, hey, I'd like to do this, but I need to pledge and pay it over maybe a month or two. I think the pledges might go a little longer. Take the pledge form out, fill it out, keep the reminder, put the long portion in. I've told Pastor Kurt that we're not in a position to upfront a whole lot of pledges, but I promised him this. As the pledges come in, they will go their direction right away. So as soon as you bring the pledges in, they'll go that direction. So feel free to do whatever you want to there. If it's easy for you to go home and do this online, do it online. We'll bring it all together, and we'll give a report at the Global Prayer Initiative tomorrow night. Ushers, please come forward. I've prayed, we've given the announcement and the offering, so God bless you as you give. Pastor Jake has an announcement that I think fits right here, and we'll wrap up the service with this today. We have this seminar coming in about 3 weeks or something like that on Wealthy Place, and it's a seminar basically outlined for young men and young women, but anybody could come to it. Tell us about the seminar, please.
Sure. We're really blessed to have Dr. Dave Williams and his team coming to do a financial seminar. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me before that money is not very important to them, and then they go and work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for it. Yeah. And the truth is, it's an important thing. It's an important tool, and we have some incredible leaders coming in to speak into the lives of young people, whether you're in high school, maybe going to college, maybe starting a new family. This is an outstanding tool for you. John wrote to the church that he said, I hope, I pray that you would be in good health and prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers. And these are some incredible Christian men and women who are presidents and vice presidents of corporations, who are entrepreneurs, who are successful, and they're going to teach you how to prosper in your spirit, in your soul, how to do God's work in finances. And I was preparing to share with you about my heart for this, I'm very passionate about this. I read this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it says that Jesus, though he was rich, he made himself poor so that through his poverty we might become rich.
And when we were at a staff meeting a few weeks ago, Jake shared this with us, and I just want you to hear this because this is really, really good. Go ahead, share what you shared in staff.
This is one reason why I'm so excited and passionate about you to come to this seminar and be blessed. Because the word rich, that when it's talking about Jesus, it literally means to be abundant in material resources. So Jesus is wealthy. How many of you know Jesus is doing all right in heaven? Yeah. And he became poor. He came to earth. And so that through his poverty, you might become rich. Now, the first word describing Jesus is the Greek word plousios, and it literally means to be wealthy. But the second word, when it's talking about so that you could be rich, it is the Greek word pluteo. And what it means is to be abundant and wealthy in resources in order to make the blessing of salvation known.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so Jesus, so I believe in this because we're going to learn the tools. We're going to walk with the wise so that we are wise. We're going to be mentored, and we're going to get the tools so that we can prosper in this area in order to make, to further God's kingdom, in order to be able to have the resources to do what is needed to reach the nations with the good news about Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Thanks, Jake. That's really good. Thanks. Could you stand, please? Next Sunday morning, we will return to our current series. The sixth word from the cross. Three words in our English Bible. It is finished. One word in the Greek Bible. And basically, next Sunday morning, what I want to do with the message is talk to you about what was accomplished on the cross. What are the things that Jesus did? I'd probably accomplish 500 things. I'm going to talk to you about five things that were accomplished on the cross for your life. Next Sunday night, we'll have the night of praise and worship over at Saginaw First, and I hope many of you will be able to join us for that night. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And God would grant unto you his peace. In Christ's name, amen. Have a good day. God bless you.